Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Welcome to All Ears, the official podcast of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, presented by Miracle Ear. I'm your host and voice of the Colonels, Calvin Cristoforo. On the podcast, you'll hear from past and present Cedar Rapids baseball influencers, including players, managers, executives, insiders, and more.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Season 3, Episode 6, the Colonels All Ear Podcast, presented to you, as always, by Miracle Ear. We got a very special episode today. We are here. We are in person in Dayton, Ohio. Ben Ross is our guest for episode number 6 of Season 3 because we are in Ben Ross's hometown area, Dayton, Ohio, for this 6-game series between the Colonels and the Dayton Dragons. Ben, first off, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is pretty awesome. Great to be here.
We are in the broadcast booth upstairs, new location for you. Although you have said you've been up here before.
Yeah, that is true.
You're a guy that grew up in this Dayton area, growing up, officially had season tickets to these Dayton Dragons games growing up. What's it been like just playing here? I know we've only have one game under our belt in this series, but what's it been like playing here in a ballpark you grew up having season tickets to?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I mean, first off, having the family come out and friends and all that support behind me is just, it's amazing just being so close to home. I mean, 25 minutes away. I mean, you can't beat it, to be honest with you. But yeah, it's great to be here. It's great to be in Dayton. So,
have you played on this field before this series?
I have, yeah. We used to do high school games here, like one or two a year. So it was like kind of just like a special game. It was really cool to have that experience.
And I can imagine you have a lot of family and friends that have shown up to this series or are coming to this series.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. I think I had probably 30 members of family and friends here last night. So,
wow, a lot of Ben Ross fans in attendance for the game last night. One that was a little bit of a wet one, a rain out after 5 innings. Colonels lost that game 6-1, but still, must have been a surreal experience for you to take the field for the first time here at this field. Well, you've taken it before, but as a professional, playing against the team that you grew up watching games against and going and rooting for.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so cool to have role models who have played on the same field. Like, grew up a Reds fan, so just coming to games, like you said, season tickets coming and watching these guys take the field. And when I was that young, I mean, they were truly heroes to me. So it was cool to have that experience to play on the same field as them. So.
And we walked up the stairs here to get to the press box where a lot of Reds memorabilia was, a lot of Dayton Dragons memorabilia was. And you're like, hey, I watched that guy play here. I rooted for that guy growing up. So that must be all the more cooler for you to play in this atmosphere like that with those names and those jerseys surrounded everywhere you see.
Absolutely, yeah. Just one after another of guys that I looked up to as a kid. It's really cool.
But let's talk about you a little bit, how you got to this position to be able to play against the Dayton Dragons. You, of course, coming from the Ohio area, not necessarily a baseball hotbed, but I guess not yeah. A baseball hotbed. What was it like growing up and playing your younger years here in Ohio?
It's always tough. I mean, starting in high school, you know, it's tough to play early on in the year, February, March, April. Like, it's really cold and the weather is pretty dodgy, so it's hard to get those games out. But other than that, I mean, it's beautiful weather, to be honest with you. I loved Ohio growing up. So
what really made you want to get into baseball in the first place when you were getting really young and growing up into it? What made you really flip the switch and say, hey, baseball is a sport that I want to do?
I don't know if I ever had a big like moment where it really clicked. Like, ever since I can remember, 2 or 3 years old when I picked up a bat, like after that it was what I wanted to do. So
did you play any other sports growing up?
I did. I played soccer in high school, but to be honest with you, it was just to stay in shape for baseball.
Okay.
Keep the weight off a little bit, so.
How good at soccer were you? Were you any good?
Probably not. I don't think I was too good.
I think you're being modest. You had to be pretty good.
It was all right. It was a good time for sure.
So you're growing up in baseball. How intense was your travel baseball realm growing up? I would assume that you played some pretty highly competitive travel ball tournaments as you're going up throughout, you know, middle school and early high school years as well.
Yeah, I played for a team called the Miami Valley Prospects that really kind of stayed pretty local, playing in like Midland tournaments down in Cincinnati, kind of staying within an hour or 2 hours. So it was really nice to have that competition that was really close, but without going to South Florida and Cooperstown to get there.
Now that you're, you know, getting into your high school years, what was your high school experience like? How big of a school did you attend high school at?
It was pretty small, honestly. I think I graduated, and I don't know this number off the top of my head, and I probably should. I want to say with about 100, 110, 120 people.
Wow.
So pretty small, yeah.
So a school in total under 500 kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
So what level would that be in Ohio high school sports?
Division 2, I believe.
And there's, what's the system? Is it 1, 2, 3?
I couldn't tell you.
You just know you're Division 2.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, like, It goes, I've heard of Division 7 high schools. I don't know if that's true or not.
Wow, sevens.
Yeah, but yeah, we were Division 2. So.
Okay. So what was it like playing high school baseball for that team? Did you jump in right away and compete for a starting spot in your freshman season?
Unfortunately, I did not. I had this guy named Seth Gray who was starting above me. He's also in the twin system.
Yep.
So he was pretty cool to watch my freshman year, his senior year. So
I And he went to the same high school as you?
I did. Yep.
That's
we went together. It was pretty cool.
That's a crazy coincidence. So you started out freshman year playing at a sub-varsity level?
Yeah, I was in JV my freshman year, yeah.
And then sophomore, junior, senior year, things kind of progressed. How did you evolve into getting yourself in a position to be recruited to a college when you're growing up as a, you know, middle high school or sophomore, junior season?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because I was really small coming out of high school. I think I was no taller than 5'7", 135 pounds maybe when I graduated. So like I had to play the game right, and like that's the one thing my dad always taught me was like, these are the fundamentals. If you do this, once you grow, the game will get a lot easier for you. So like I give him the most props in the world of just like teaching me how to play the game right instead of just being bigger than everybody else.
What does playing the game right mean to you?
I mean, there's definitely some different interpretations to it. I think of like, you know, using at the plate, using all sides of the field, being able to hit the ball backside, kind of like hitting behind runners, playing that small ball-ish type of baseball. I think that was definitely a good thing to learn to help me out.
So now you get into a point where you're starting to be recruited by colleges. What was that process like for you? When did it start? Did it start early in your high school career, or was it a little bit later in your high school career?
It was definitely later. I did a few like showcases to try to get my name out there, but like I said, I was really small, so I didn't really catch too many eyes. So I ended up getting one Division II offer, and it was Notre Dame College, a school that I ended up going with. And that was it. Like I had a few D3s and just, hey, come to a visit, you know, come see what we got. But yeah, one legitimate offer.
So what was that like for you? Was that a stressful thing? Like, hey, I'm running out of options here. I only got one choice.
It was, yeah. I was actually really lucky to have a connection with them. My coach with the Miami Valley Prospects played there. So he kind of knew the coaches still and like put me on, so to speak. Like, hey, you know, this guy is looking for a school, you kind of got the line of communication going there. So it was really nice to have that kind of in my corner. But other than that, I wouldn't say it was too stressful. I mean, you get one offer, it's kind of pretty self-explanatory what you got to do.
So how far away was Notre Dame College from the town and high school you grew up in?
Just about 3 hours on the dot.
Okay, but yeah. Still in the state of Ohio. Mm-hmm. Just 3 hours, I would assume, east then.
It's north.
North.
It's Cleveland, yeah.
Okay, up near Cleveland. So northeast, right? Northeast?
Yeah, northeast, yeah.
Okay, so what point in your high school career did you commit to Notre Dame? Was it a later in your high school career, junior year?
I can't remember exactly. I want to say probably right before my senior year, not getting into the early stages of my senior year.
Okay. So then what was your senior high school season like, knowing like, hey, this monkey's off my back, I know where I'm going to college? Were you able to play a little bit more stress-free in your high school final season?
Yeah, I remember just going out and trying to have fun, like enjoying the last couple years of high school and being a little less stressed out about trying to continue to play at the next level. I already had that under my belt, so it was just kind of nice to go out there and have fun. So.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Hearing is important to living life to the fullest. That's why inside every Miracle Ear store, you'll find better laughs at family barbecues. You'll find a better life is in store at Miracle Ear when you experience the Miracle Ear exclusive advantage. It starts with our free hearing assessment, plus innovative products that will fit your needs and budget. With free service and adjustments for life, call 319-243-7105 to schedule a free hearing evaluation and find a better life in store. Our local Miracle Ear team is proud to support the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Group outings are a great way to unwind and enjoy a night out, and we invite you to reach out to our group sales staff and see all the options we have.
Everybody knows when you're at the game, the good times roll. Hey, hey, Colonels, let the good times roll. Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Now, This is Season 3, Episode 6 of the Colonel's Earlier Podcast, coming to you from the visiting broadcast booth at Dayair Ballpark in Dayton, Ohio, the hometown area of Ben Ross, our guest this week on Season 3, Episode 6 of the Colonel's Earlier Podcast. We're moving from your high school career to your college career. You step foot on campus, you're a freshman in the fall. What was that transition like playing fall ball with a Division II school, now making that leap from high school?
Honestly, it was pretty nerve-wracking for sure. I know, like, I got really close with the guys I, like, came in that recruiting class, just because of, like, the way the living worked was we all had, like, a hallway and a dorm. So, like, all of us lived together there, so it was really cool, and it was, like, a great opportunity to get close to those guys. So, like, going to practice with them was definitely a big help, and not as stressful going into it, for sure.
So what was that playing, like, on the field side of things, though? You have those guys behind you, you're kind of a group now together, you know the players on the team, but competition-wise, I'm sure it took a major step forward.
Yeah, definitely. There was a guy who was playing shortstop at the time, he was a senior, and my head coach was like, hey, that's the guy you got to beat out. And I was like, oh, okay. Kind of a little bit of a wake-up call. He was like, if you want it, go get it. So that was kind of... It was pretty cut and dry after that. It was nose to the grindstone, get to work.
So what happened?
I ended up starting the first game at shortstop, and he played third. So
you went out, and you got it, just like your coach said you would. So now you're getting to the spring season of your freshman year. You're playing against different teams, different uniforms. How were you able to transition from, okay, I had a really good fall, I won this job in the spring, now I got to go out and prove that I should be here?
It was a pretty weird time because that's when COVID hit.
Okay.
So we got, like, I want to say 11 games in of the season, and then we got sent home. But it was really, like, I felt like I had something to prove. You know, I wanted to come out and prove that I deserved to be the starter, like the starting shortstop on that team. So for the first few games, I was definitely nervous. I don't remember ever getting nervous for a baseball game all the way, like, all throughout. I haven't since probably gotten nervous for a baseball game. And I was nervous for the first game.
But then COVID hits, and now you're kind of in a point where you're like, okay, you probably had no idea what was going to happen next. I mean, what was that time like for you? You know, still trying to develop, still trying to get better. You're a freshman in college, but you can't play against other teams.
It was tough. Yeah, they sent us home, and they kind of told us 2 to 3 weeks, hopefully, we'll be back on campus. We'll get back going. We'll just extend the season a little bit. And obviously that didn't happen, so it was a weird time being home, and that's when you really figured out if you were going to work for it or not.
So what did you do in that time when you're not playing games? I'm sure fields were, I don't know if they're open and closed in your hometown, but still getting a group of guys together, not really a logistic thing. What was that, you know, kind of one-on-one, you and yourself, training regiment like to continue to improve during that time?
Yeah, the main thing I really worked on was gaining weight.
Okay.
Like, that was my main focus. Like, we went home. I didn't know when the next game was going to be. I was like, the first thing I need to, like, work on is gaining weight. So I went and hit the gym really hard. And I think that offseason I put on, like, probably 22, 25 pounds of just, like, pretty decent weight, I would think. So that was, like, a huge step, a huge thing that I focused on going into that next year.
So then you get to the fall of the next season, and you probably feel like you're probably in one of the best shapes you are in your life. How'd you translate that from the weight room to the diamond?
It was a somewhat difficult time just because I didn't know what I was really capable of. So, like, that was when I hit my first home run, the fall ball of, like, that oncoming year, like my true freshman year.
You hadn't hit a home run?
Never. I never hit a ball over the fence.
Little League?
Until then, nope.
Wow. Yeah. It took you all the way into your sophomore year of college.
Yep, and I hit one in fall ball, and that was, like, so exciting to me. So, like, that was motivation right there to keep going and keep working harder and working and working and working. So.
And then you go for your sophomore season, a successful year for you. What was that like to see those, you know, dividends start to pay off?
It was amazing. It was truly, like, I remember getting home, like, right after it happened because the season happened so fast. Like, I don't really remember, like, sitting down during the season being, okay, this is what I need to work on or anything like that. It was just, like, we started, and then we ended, which I think is probably a good thing. I don't know. But afterwards, I was like, yeah, that was actually a lot of fun. Like, had some success, hit a couple home runs. Like, the work truly did pay off. So
we'll skip the offseason and go right to the next season in 2022, because that is where you really started to tear the cover off the baseball. Conference Player of the Year, all sorts of accolades at the Division II level at Notre Dame College. I mean, you are becoming one of the best players at the Division II level at that time. I mean, how was that like for you?
It was awesome. It was really cool to come out and prove that I could do it again, to, like, succeed on the field to that extent. It was definitely nerve-wracking because, again, I came out like, okay, I have to do it again. You know, I have something to prove. I have to prove that last year wasn't a fluke. So I came out and, like you said, had a pretty good year. And, yeah.
I don't know about pretty good. I mean, you can check the numbers. A really, really good year that season for Ben Ross. That was in last spring at Notre Dame College. Calvin Cristoforo, Ben Ross here at Day Air Ballpark in Dayton, Ohio, getting set for this Colonels and Dayton Dragons series. This is Season 3, Episode 6 of the Colonels All Year Podcast, as presented to you, as always, by Miracle-Ear. Then after that season, a really good one, did you have any inclination that you were going to go in the draft?
At that point, I had been talking to some scouts, but it was, like, really tough because I didn't have an agent coming out.
Okay.
I didn't get drafted with an agent either. I just actually recently signed with one. But, yeah, so I didn't really have any idea of, like, where I stood against, like, guys I was competing with for spots and for a job. So it was tough, but I definitely, like, had that thought in the back of my head of, like, just keep working towards it. So
did you have an advisor, someone that was telling you, hey, it looks like you might go here, or you kind of left on your own?
I was left on my own, yeah. I will say, like, huge props to my family for going through it with me because, like, it was hard on me, and I know it was hard on them. So, yeah, they stuck through it with me, obviously, and, yeah, I was pretty blind going into it for sure.
So then you get the call, and did you have any idea it was coming, when it was coming?
Not really. I had I was really blessed to have my family there with me. They came up for the Northwoods, like, All-Star break.
So at this time, you're still playing in the Northwoods League?
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
I played all the way pretty much till the day before the draft. So that was really cool.
Which is up in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so it was a great experience there. But, yeah, I had my family with me, and I got the call, like, early on in the morning. And it was actually – am I allowed to say, like, another team?
Sure.
Yeah, the Giants called me. And they're like, hey, be ready today. And this is the second day of the draft. Like, be ready. We're probably going to call you at some point today. And I was like, okay, that's awesome. That's great news. So I was, like, really excited. Obviously, I was waiting by my phone, just looking at it, waiting for it to go off, hopefully earlier rather than later. But didn't end up getting the call until about lunchtime. I was at lunch with my family in Wisconsin and got the call from the Twins. And, you know, they gave me the offer. And, yeah, it was pretty surreal.
Had you had talked to the Twins a little beforehand? Did you have any idea that you were potentially on their draft board?
It's funny because I hadn't until like a week prior to that.
Okay.
And they invited me to a workout at Target Field. So I went and kind of did that workout, and it was a great experience. It was so cool to be there. And that was like really the first time I like started talking to the Twins seriously. So I didn't think they were too high on me, honestly. But
how many other people were at that workout? Was it kind of a one-on-one thing? Was it a group thing?
There were three other guys there.
Okay.
So,
okay.
One of them was Zebby Matthews, actually.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Colonel Zebby Matthews, who actually just won the Twins Minor League Pitcher of the Month in the month of May. Colonel's pitcher, who will get his first start in Cedar Rapids coming up when the team goes back home for a 12-game home series against the South Bend Cubs in the Beloit Sky Cup.
Stay connected with the Cedar Rapids Colonels all year long by following the Colonels on social media. Catch up with the Colonels on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CR Colonel.
Talking to Ben Ross here on Season 3, Episode 6 of the Colonels All Year Podcast. As always, available wherever you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get it. Also, you can watch us on YouTube when this podcast comes out, getting set here in the remainder of this series between the Colonels and the Dayton Dragons, Cedar Rapids on the back end of their final 12-game road trip of the season. So you work out with the Twins, you get the call from the Twins, then what is the next 24 hours like once you're selected by the Twins?
It was crazy, yeah. So I got the call that day at lunch, and like the first thing I asked was like, okay, I have the home run derby tonight, and then the All-Star game tomorrow, what am I allowed to do? And they kind of told me like, you can do everything, but just be careful.
Don't get hurt.
Do not get hurt. So I was like, okay. So I did the home run derby that night, and like really had a great time.
Did you win?
I did not, no. I hit 13, and some guy on the other side hit 15.
Ugh.
So came in second, tied for second. But, yeah, so then the All-Star game was the next day, and I could tell it was kind of a touchy subject. You know, I wasn't really supposed to plan it, but they were going to kind of let me. And I was like, you know, I'm going to take this extra day and go home. So I ended up waking up that next day, driving the 8.5-9 hours back home with my family. Spent like 4 days there and then caught the flight to Florida. So
then you get the post-draft process. You go through a couple of games last season, and then this season you start out in Cedar Rapids. You meet the team a little bit later. You missed the first, what, 3 games of the season, Meet the team back at home. But what has your experience been like playing, you know, in Cedar Rapids at Veterans Memorial Stadium in high A ball in the Twins organization?
I mean, honestly, I don't have a single complaint. It's been a great experience, a great time. I mean, like, clubhouse life is great. Like, it's so much fun showing up to the field every single day. And, yeah, I mean, the fans, everybody is just great, great support.
I feel like there's some candidates for this, but just from the outside looking in, I'm in the locker room every day, but not intently. Feels like to me, from the outside looking in, you and Noah Miller might have the biggest bromance on the team. What's your relationship like with him, and how have you guys grown so close?
It's funny, because if you would ask him, he's my older brother, but if you asked me, I'm his older brother, so it kind of goes back and forth.
You technically are older.
I am, yes. By a long shot, a year and a half. But yeah, no, it's really cool because, you know, we like a lot of the same things. We love to fish, so we're out there doing that all the time, you know, just hanging out, live together back in Cedar Rapids. So there's a lot of just downtime hanging out.
It seems like fishing and golfing are the two biggest themes on this team.
Yes.
You and Noah are on the fishing side of things. Do you guys hit the links as well?
We do, yeah. We kind of do it both. We like to blur the lines there, but yeah, we get out. We love to just do anything. So.
What is your favorite off-the-field activity?
Wow. I would probably say fishing, but I'm not very good at it. I feel like I never catch anything. So.
What's the best thing you've ever caught?
Oh, I don't know, honestly. I've caught a few huge redfish down in South Carolina.
Okay.
It was on a charter, so I don't know if that really counts, but that was really cool. Recently in Florida, I caught a peacock bass. I've caught a few of those now, and that was like a bucket list fish for me, so.
I'm sure the fish down in Florida are bigger than the Ohio fish.
Absolutely, yeah. I was out pretty much every day.
So you were kind of dealt a bad hand, you know, living in where the fish aren't, you know, that prevalent in Ohio.
Right.
Wrapping up here on the Colonel's Earlier Podcast, Season 3, Episode 6, getting to know Ben Ross. I just have a couple of questions about your play, about your style of play, because you were drafted as a shortstop, but You've been able to bounce around literally the entire diamond. You've played first base, third base. You played every position in the outfield. You started a game in center field, something you only did once, I believe, in your college career, and that was in the Northwoods League.
Yep.
What's it been like learning all these new positions and getting that defensive versatility?
It's been amazing. You know, I feel like the more versatile I can be, the more opportunity it has for my bat to be in the lineup, and that's really all I want. You know, I want to play every day, so if it gives me the chance, then I'm more than willing to try it. So
recently, I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the 2 home runs in the 9th inning off a position player.
Yeah.
48 miles per hour, like he was playing slow pitch softball out there. Usually it's harder for guys to slow down their bats and hit 48 when you're used to 92, but you were able to do it.
Yeah, I would like to give a little credit to my brother's wiffle ball knuckleball.
Shut him out.
Throw it in there, and it'll go like that, and it's just big and arky, and you got to wait back on it. So I think that's the I'll give some credit to that.
Danny Bautista Jr., the pitcher for Lansing, a guy who's throwing 48 miles per hour. No match for Ben Ross and his bat. Okay, I'll finish with this because I asked Noah Cardenas this question. I feel like it's a good question to ask around the group, okay? If the bus driver is not available to drive the bus, and you got to pick one of your teammates to safely drive the bus back. We're in Dayton right now. We are over 500 miles away from Veterans Memorial Stadium. What teammate are you entrusting the most to get you safely back home to drive the bus?
Can I ask who he said?
He said Rimmel.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a good one. I'm not going to choose that one, but that's a really
good
one.
He said Rimmel, and I see what he's looking at because Rimmel, I feel like, takes everything seriously.
He's very locked in all
like,
the time.
Fielding fly balls during batting practice, He's on it.
He is.
Driving the bus, he'd be on it.
I'm going to go with like a hot take here. I'm going to say Rosario, I think.
Why Kalei?
He's also, like when he clicks it, he's very locked in too. So I think like he would take it very seriously. Like we like to joke around a lot for sure. Like we live together as well, so. There's a lot of fun and games going on there, but I think when he locks it in, he's going to be a good driver.
Well, we got 2 buses, Rimmel, Rosario. They'll drive us back to Cedar Rapids. What bus are you picking?
Rimmel.
Not even going with his own guy. He's taking Nicholas Rimmel. That is Ben Ross. This is Season 3, Episode 6 of the Colonel's All-Ear Podcast. Always available wherever you can get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, you name it. Ben, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was awesome.
We'll be back for Season 3, Episode 7, coming out soon. Again, wherever you can get your podcasts.
Choosing Miracle-Ear was a great decision. Like when I decided to host family movie nights. Miracle-Ear made it easy. I just booked an appointment, and a certified hearing care professional evaluated my hearing loss and helped me find the right device calibrated to my unique hearing needs. Now I enjoy every moment. The quiet ones and the loud ones.
Your local Miracle-Ear team is proud to support your Cedar Rapids Colonels. Enjoy the game.